Let's get to the message. Shemesh 27. Turn with me now to Bereshit. That is Genesis 14, excuse me, verses 1. 14, verse 1. This is the first war ever recorded in the Tanakh. It was before Messiah Yeshua's birth. That was 2,100 years. BMYB, before Messiah Yeshua's birth. It says in the Word that as a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. So that was only 2 days. 2,100 years. Let's continue. RMY. Resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. That was in 33 CE, the common era. So if you take 33 and subtract it from 2015, that is 1,982 years, according to how we measure years. That's almost 2 days. Because we'd have to add another 18 more years for that to be equal of 2 days. And that's how long Yeshua has been gone, according to him. Only 2 days. See, we got to look from God's perspective in all these things. And I believe right now all of you have found your place with that short introduction. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 14, verses 1. When Amraphel was king of Shinar. Where is Shinar? It is in the Chaldees, Ur. What is that today? Present-day Babylon. Let's continue. Arioch, king of Elsar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam. Where is Elam? That later became Persia. And later it became Aram. Who are two great enemies before the nation of Israel today? They are Iraq and they are Iran. You think all this is all new? No. Our father, Abraham, was dealing with it in his day. Let's continue. And Tidal, king of Goyim, verse 2. Of chapter 14. They made war together against Bera, king of Sodom, and against Bersha, king of Amorah, that is Gomorrah, and Sheav, king of Adama, and Shem-Ever, king of Zoim, and the king of Bela, which is the same as Zeor. Verse 3. All the latter kings joined forces in the Siddim Valley, where the Dead Sea is. They all had served Chedorlaomer 12 years, but in the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings with him came and defeated Raphaim, the Rephaimites, in Asherot Kayaim, and the Zuim in Ham. You may be saying, well, what's this Ham talking about? That's the Hamites. Those were the descendants of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's continue. And the Hori at Seir in their mountain, all the way to Eli-Pa'aran by the desert, which is near the Negev desert. Next they turned back and they came to En-Mispat, which is the same as Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Malachi, which is whom? The Amalekites. This was Haman's family. Haman. We're going to be celebrating Purim. This was Haman's. That's right, let's boo. Haman. I'm getting you ready. Haman's family is found in the book of Hadassah. What book is that? The book of Esther. Yes, thank you. And that speaks of Purim. That is the drawing of the lots. Why were the lots drawn? They were deciding which day to exterminate all the Jewish people. And Satan wanted that done so that what? So the Messiah would be destroyed. Let's continue. So those of you who are going to be joining us during Purim, read the book of Hadassah, read the book of Esther, so that you're prepared to celebrate since you've been grafted in into the commonwealth of Israel and you are spiritual Jews. And I say this before you, there are many physical Jews that live their whole lives out and never become spiritual Jews by the faith of their father Abraham in that context and in that definition. Let's continue. Verse 8 of 14. Then the kings of Sodom and Amorah and Amadah, whose name means humankind and also means of having humanly wisdom. That's what his name means. Let's carry on. Zoaim, which means gazelles. Let's continue. Bela, which means destruction. You may say, well, why are you bringing all these names of these meanings of these names? They were important to Adonai. Do you love Adonai Yeshua with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then they should be important to you, because then you'll have a depth, more in-depth understanding of what we're dealing with right now in our day and age and what our father Abraham had to come against. The kings that believed in the false gods. And by them taking over territories, they were establishing their false gods in all these other lands. Let's continue. That is Zeor, which means small destruction. They came out and arrayed themselves for battle in the Sidon Valley. And what is the Sidon Valley? It is the Valley of Salt. Let's continue. Against Kedorlaomer, the king of Elam, that is Persia, which is Iran, Tadal, the king of Goyim, Amraphel, his name means uncertain. How would you like your parents to name you that? Oh, what's your son name? I really don't know, but let's just call him Amraphel. Let's continue. He was a king of Adamah, humankind and wisdom. That's where his place of origin was. Man's wisdom, not God's. Let's continue. Arioch means lion-like. Now you may think, oh, that's an excellent name. He is like Hasatan, Satan, a lion with no teeth or claws. He is a paper lion who roars and terrifies the children of the Most High God. Because one day you and I will be standing in heaven. And when he's being judged, it says that all the nations shall look at him and say, my goodness, is that what we're afraid of? Are you kidding me? That's what Hasatan, Satan is. He is a lion without teeth or claws. And all he can do is roar about and spread his lies. So we have to make a choice. Do we want to serve and follow the father of lies? Or do we want to follow Abba, our father, who sent his son to die on our behalf and who's given us his own ruach, his own spirit, that will lead us into all truth. My brothers and sisters, the time for playing games are over. And God desires that his holy remnant be purged by fire, refined as gold. And those who do not have a strong personal relationship with Yeshua and are being led by the Ruach HaKodesh are going to be deceived and they're going to go into madness. And this is going to be a commonplace in all the assemblies of all churches and messianic congregations. God is coming back for his holy remnant, his bride. Read the scriptures again, my brothers and sisters, and allow the Spirit of the living God to reveal all truth to you. Every sin that is confessed can be forgiven and the blood applied. But if sin is not confessed, our Father cannot forgive us our sins. And we, as our brothers and sisters, cannot allow sin in the camp. Because then the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is grieved, and Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed, will be over our doors. Now, let's personalize that. That will be written on my forehead. In your forehead. Are we not the temples of the Most High God? Amen. Yes and amen. Hanukkah, that's a time of rededicating. Every moment, every second, every day, you're to go before the Lord and allow the Ruach to help you cleanse your temple, both your mind, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Let's continue. Next, they turn back. Well, I already did that part. Let's skip down. Yep, 9. Against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Persia, and Tidal, king of Goyim. And I already talked about here the paper lion. Also the king Elasar. 4 kings against 5. Didn't seem fair, did it? Now the Sidim Valley was full of clay pits. I know some of your translations say this. Tar pits. The correct translation is clay pits. Let's continue. Brother Frank, but it says tar pits in the King James Version. Did the Apostle Paul or Rav Shaul ever quote from the King James Version? Amen? No, they quoted from the Torah, which was written in what language? Hebrew. Amen? Let's continue. When the kings of Sodom and Amorah fled and fell into them, while the rest fled to the hills, the victors took all the possessions of Sodom and Amorah and all their food supply. Then they left. But as they left, they took Lot, whose name means covering and protection. Abraham's brother's son and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. Notice last Shabbat, he had pitched his tent and he was looking at his entertainment, a city living in sin. And he was profiting by them, by selling his sheep and his goats and his bulls. He was profiting by a city would be like Las Vegas in our days. What do they say about Las Vegas? What happens in there stays there, right? So here's a man who's supposed to be a covering and a protection. The heir of Abraham to be walking with the generations yet to be born to be the demonstration of what a high priest and a holy and godly man is to be. Let's continue. He was no longer living in tents outside, but dwelling in the midst of Sodom, the city of sin. Did God send him there as a missionary? No. Did he try and live a holy and righteous life before them? Yes. But did Adonai Yeshua ever say to him, I'm now sending you as a missionary to the Sodomites. Now go. No. So he just went there for the enterprise, becoming wealthy. Because he saw all the riches that were there being revealed in Egypt. And he saw what his uncle Abraham received, although through deception, with Pharaoh. And he thought, well, if it's good enough for uncle, it's good enough for me. I'll go and I'll gain great wealth from those who are in the world. Let's continue. Someone who had escaped came to and told Avraham the Hebrew. Here he is, for the very first time, is he ever mentioned as being the Hebrew. That means one who has crossed over, not only the river, but crossed over to a relationship with Adonai Yeshua as his God, his provider, and his defender. Avraham was declaring this when he built those altars. And he had entered into the promised land. He rejected those false gods and those kings. And who now was coming? But the kings who promoted the false gods, Ur the Chaldees, those are the ones who are now invading the promised land. And Avraham did not rise to attack them, but he rose to do and to save his rebellious nephew. He didn't do it out of jealousy, but he was willing to spare his life and all he had and the lives of his allies that they would go and rescue his rebellious nephew. Does anyone have a testimony about that, having relatives who walked away from God, who've known and tasted that the Lord is good and have rejected him? That's what's happening here. Let's continue. Avraham, who was living by the oaks of Mamre. Now, what is this Mamre? Mamre is actually a person whose name means strength. This is one of the people that Avraham entered into covenant with as an ally. Strength. Let's continue. And he and his brothers helped Avraham defeat this king Kedorlaomer and his allies, who had taken Lot as prisoner. The Emori, the Amorite brother of Eshcol, this is the second brother, whose name means cluster of grapes, fruitful one. So here Abraham has one guy, his name is Strength. The other one is called Cluster of Grapes. He is fruitful. There's a third, okay? And the third brother is Aner. It means sprout or waterfall. Let's continue. One of the three Amorite brothers allied with Abraham against the attackers of Sodom and Gomorrah, who had taken Lot as captive. So they were all allies here. And they had heard of the testimony of the one true God who Abraham served. And they were watching, and they allowed him to live among them. Notice it's not near the city of Sodom. Let's continue. They're all allies of Avraham, and they were in covenant with Avraham. If one is attacked, then we shall all come to one another's side and to be in aid. Let's continue. Verse 14. When Avraham heard that his nephew Lot, covering protection, had been taken captive, he led out his trained men who had been born in his house, 318 of them. It's estimated that in Abraham's camp were 1,000 people. And they went in pursuit as far as Dan. Now you may be saying, well, why? Who's this Dan? That's speaking of the tribe of Dan. And you know something? Here, it's proven to us that our God has foreknowledge. Was the 12 tribes of Israel, were they ruling and reigning in the promised land at this time? No. And so when this was written down, who was writing this down? Moshe. And he was writing by faith, believing in the promised land. He had revelation, for he walked with Adonai Yeshua. So let's continue. Where is Dan? It is near the Golan Heights. It's about 270 kilometers from Hebron. That is Hebron. It is located in the hill city of Judah. That's where Hebron is. It is 31 kilometers south of Jerusalem. The city is near the ridge of the hills and at the altitude of 3,040 feet. It is above sea level. Abraham chose the high place to be near Adonai Yeshua. In contrast, Lot chose to dwell below sea level by the city of Sodom, which is sin, which is near Sheol, hell. Under the Dead Sea, presently, the Dead Sea is 50 miles long, 10 miles wide, and it's at the depth of 1,407 feet below sea level. That is presently where the cities of the plain are now under the Dead Sea, of Sodom, Amora, Gomorrah, Amada, and Zeboim. The Hebrew, Yam HaMawet, the Sea of Death in Hebrew. That's what the Dead Sea means. It is a death, meaning the continuing. It is not death in past tense, but in present. Everything that enters into it cannot survive dwelling there. It has no outlet. It is man's wisdom and knowledge that ends in death. And what is below it? The cities that have been destroyed by God. Let's continue. Hebron means confederacy. It is a covenant for mutual support or common action. Those who form an alliance. Hebron became a city of refuge that the inhabitants aided King David when he was a fugitive. And after Shaul's death, King Saul's death, David was anointed king of Judah in Hebron. David reigned there for 7 years. Seven is the number for perfection or completeness. David was matured as being a king in 7 years at Hebron. Continuing, near Hebron was the campsite of Avraham. That's the significance here. Let's continue. Avraham, our exalted father, who lived at the Oaks of Mamre near the city, near the cave of Machpelah, at Mamre became the patriarchal burial place of Sarah, whose name means princess, who was the wife of Avraham. Who later was buried there? Avraham himself. Yitzhak and Yaakov were buried there. Near the Oaks of Mamre. See how this covenant was established with these three other men, these three Amorites? Let's continue. Avraham, with his 318 men, were trained for war, and his allies traveled a great distance. During the night, he and his servants, now they traveled from Hebron all the way up to Dan near the Golan Heights. That's a long way. That was the determination of Avraham to save his rebellious nephew. Just as we should earnestly pray for those who are our family, both by blood, and also those who will be our family by the Spirit. Because if you do not have the same heart cry and the burden for the lost, then I would ask you this, my brother and sister. Do you truly walk in intimacy with Yeshua and Abba Father and the Ruach? Because if it's not there, if you do not have that burden, then I say this as a warning to you, just as the Lord had to give it to me one day. Your heart has been cold toward the lost, and you need to repent. And I need to remove your stony heart, Frank, and give you a heart of flesh that has love and compassion for the lost. Talk about rebuke. Amen. I needed that. Let's continue. During the night, he and his servants divided his forces against them. Then they attacked and pursued them all the way to Horah, north of Damascus, which is in modern-day Syria. You know why they attacked him by night? Because they didn't know how big the force was. And they attacked him from two directions. That confusion and that one king that they were coming against, whose name was uncertain, what do you think happened to him? He didn't know who was coming against them at night. Because most armies would not fight at night. And notice this. They were not terrified to fight at night because they knew the terrain. It was their backyard. It was their home front. Let's continue. And Abraham recovered all the goods and brought back his nephew Lot, covering and protection, with his goods together with the women and the other people. Abraham was a type of Messiah that was willing to sacrifice everything for one soul. Let's continue. After Abraham's return from slaughtering King Dela Omer, who was bringing a false gods and religions into the promised land, Abraham was a testimony of the one true God to his neighbors, these Amorite men, who I believe came to know the Lord. Let's continue. And the kings with him. The king of Sodom went out to meet him in Shaveh Valley. That is the plain. That is a level place. That is near Salem. That is Jerusalem. Also known as the King's Valley. Who now is coming to meet Abraham? But Malachim of Malachim. That is King of Kings. And Adonai of Adonai, Lord of Lords. Yeshua, Jesus, pre-incarnate. What does that mean? Yeshua, who was born of the Ruach HaKodesh in Miriam. I'll give you a verse right here. Chapter, you don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. We don't have time for us to turn right now, but let us continue. And this, now we need to turn to this verse. Yohanan, John, chapter 8, 51 and 59. Because there may be some people hearing and yet not believing that Yeshua knew Abraham before he came to be born of the Virgin Mary by and through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God. So let's turn there to John chapter 8, verse 51. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Not truly, truly, as the King James says. That's okay, translation. Let's continue. I tell you the truth. I tell you that whoever obeys my teaching will never see death. Who is speaking here? Yeshua. The Judeans said to him, now we know for sure that you have a demon. As a believer in Messiah, I've had people come up to me, shaking and trembling, and say, Brother Frank, you have a demon. And everything that you're doing is because you're demon-possessed. All right? That's come. And as a young believer, the Lord gave me a word. And I said to this believer, who had been a believer for over 30 years, I was in my 20s. I was probably either 8 or 10 years in the Lord. And I was shocked. I was deeply hurt. I said this to them. Where the Spirit of the Living God dwells, can any demon remain? And I walked away from him. And the Lord showed me that there are false teachers, preachers, and prophets who come before you as lambs, but they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Rav Shaul said to Timothy, rebuke, exhort, teach, comfort, build, exalt. lay down your life. You are called as a shepherd. You lay down to your life for the sheep that are goring you with their horns and butting you into submission. You are to love them in spite of how they're treating you. And if we as under-shepherds, under-Messiah, are not willing to do that, a healthy body is where confrontation comes and truth comes out and the glory of the Lord is revealed and there's reconciliation. Because what does the enemy want to do? He wants to divide us and conquer us. I, for one, are not willing to walk down that path with anyone. I want reconciliation. I want love. I want truth. And if I'm to be rebuked, praise God. Am I to receive correction? Absolutely. Do I have all truth? No. That's why I have the body of Messiah. And that's why I have freedom. Because I have a relationship now I'm building with the congregational board here and through Rabbi where we can hold one another accountable in love and mercy. Because we're building the kingdom of God together. And that's what we're all about. If not, we're a country club. I don't want to be a member. I've been a member of many country club congregations that are not building the kingdom and not raising up disciples, Talmudim. I don't want to be in that anymore. I resign myself to be in the company where that's going on. If you have the same desire, remain. But if you want to go to a country club, and actually we're going to be celebrating Pesach at a country club, you got to have some humor. My goodness, a miracle before us. Brother Frank actually shared something that was funny. Yes, God is developing a sense of humor within me. Amen? Praise God. So let's continue. The Judean said to him, "Now we know for sure that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever obeys my teaching will never taste death. Abraham Avinu died. You aren't greater than he, are you? And all the prophets also died. Who do you think you are?" Talk about a rebuke. It says Judeans, you know who these people were? These were the priests and the Levites. These were the leaders of rabbinical. It wasn't rabbinical at that time, but it did become. But these were men who were walking in legalism and did not know Abba Father intimately. Let's continue. Well, let's see what Yeshua has to say. Yeshua answered them, "If I praise myself, my praise counts for nothing. The one who is praising me is my Father, my Abba, the very one about whom you keep saying, 'He is our God.' Now you have not known him. You do not know him at all. But I know him. Yes, indeed. Amen and amen. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you." Now, who just said that? Yeshua. And who was he dealing with? The leaders, the spiritual leaders, the guardians, the high priests of Israel. And he said, "You are liars. You don't know him." Let's continue. "But I do know him, and I obey his word. Abraham, your father," he admits right here, "according to the flesh, Abraham is your father." Let's continue. "Was glad that he would see my day. And he saw it, and he was overjoyed." Wait a second. Abraham, at this time, it's now over 2,000 years, His remains are in that cave near the Oaks of Mamre, in that place. Yeshua, are you now lying to us? No, let's continue. He saw it and he was overjoyed. How did he see it? I declare to you, when the high priest came, it was Yeshua. Let's continue. Why, you're not 50 years old, the Judeans replied, and you have seen Avraham? Yeshua said to them, yes, indeed, before Avraham became into being, I am. Wait a second. Did you hear what he said? He said, I am. You're kidding me. Are you sure? Absolutely, brother. He said, I am. Then what does it say? And at this they picked up stones to throw at him, to stone him, because he was declaring himself as literally Creator God. I am that I am, who stood before Moshe in that burning bush. Let's continue. But Yeshua was hidden and left the temple grounds. So now let us go back to where we were before. Let's turn back now to Bereshit, that is Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek, king of Salem, meaning king of righteousness, Salem, Jerusalem, kingdom of shalom, kingdom of peace, brought out bread and wine. He brought out bread and wine. He is the Kohen, the priest of El Elyon, which is God Most High. So Adonai Yeshua Melchizedek, bless Avraham with these words. Blessed be Avraham by El Elyon, maker of heaven and earth. And blessed be El Elyon who handed your enemies over to you. Avraham gave him Yeshua Adonai Melchizedek a tenth of everything. The next portion of scripture here we won't be turning to is Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. It says in that, this Melchizedek, he was without father or mother, without beginning and end. He was the king of righteousness. I ask you this, has any human being ever been born? Now, here's a test. There's a trick to this. Has there ever been a human being born that did not have mother and father? Adam and Eve. And then from that, has there ever been someone born? So was this Adam? It was a male. It was Yeshua. Precarnate. Before being born of the Virgin Mary. Let's continue. So, if you look at these symbols here, picture, I didn't put wine in here, grape juice. Picture this as being wine and bread. Yeshua is what? He is the bread of life. Imagine this, Yeshua, as the high priest of El Elyon coming out of Jerusalem, he brought the bread of life and fed Avraham from his hands. And he brought what? The wine, which was a symbol of his blood, to wash away all his sins and bring nourishment to him. Now let's fast forward. Yeshua is standing now in front of his Talmudim. It is now Pesach. And he takes the fourth cup, which is the cup of redemption. And he breaks the matzah, the unleavened bread that has no sin in it. Because it's unleavened. Leaven symbolizes sin. He takes it and he breaks it and says, take this and eat of it, for this is my body. In it you shall have life. And then he turns and takes the cup. He says the bruka over the bread, and I'm for time constraint, I'll skip over that right now. And then he says the bruka over the wine, and he offers that to them. He says, this is my blood. Take ye therefore and be cleansed. We do this at Pesach every year. But Avraham, before his Brit Milah, before his circumcision, before the Torah was even established, he met with Yeshua in the form of Melchizedek, coming from Jerusalem as the eternal high priest of God, who had no beginning nor no end, the eternal high priest. And notice this, that Yeshua is standing before his Talmudim, who represent the 12 tribes of Israel. There's great significance here. He was not from the priestly line or the tribe of Levi. But he did this according to whom? Before the Torah was given, and from the line that came down from Aaron through to the Levites, as to be the eternal priest, as we read in today's Torah portion. But here was another priest, who is Yeshua, who did this precarnate from the tribe of Judah. The line of the tribe of Judah was standing before them. And as Yeshua passed out these elements before them, he did the same over 2,000 years earlier, which was 2 days to the Lord, before our father Avraham. Now we see the significance. So here Avraham was having communion with Adonai Yeshua prior to the law, prior to circumcision. And he was walking in faith and in the provision of Adonai Yeshua. Let's continue really quickly. The king of Sodom said to Avraham, give me the people and you keep the goods for yourself. But Avraham answered the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand in oath to Adonai Elyon, the maker of heaven and earth. So he's declaring this to a king that's a king of Las Vegas. And he's saying, this, my God, delivered your people into my hand. Let's continue. But Avraham answered king of Sodom, I've raised my hand in oath to Adonai Elyon, maker of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, so that you won't be able to say, Avraham, I've made you rich. And we're going to finish here. I will take only what my troops have eaten, and the share of the spoil belonging to the men that who came with me. Aner, his buddy, his ally, sprout or waterfall, which symbolizes growth and living waters. Eshkol, cluster of grapes, the fruitful one. And Mamre, who means strength. Let them have their share. And Avraham's refusal to take the riches of the Canaanites revealed his dependence on Adonai Yeshua and his provision alone. For Yeshua declared this, I am the bread of life that provides for both your bodies and your souls. And I have provided my blood to wash away all your sins. Praise be to his name. Patrick, come and close us, the service.